Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. Today's is a really special one for me. I sat down with longtime friend David McCorkle. We grew up together and went through school and played basketball, and you're going to hear a lot of those stories about our childhood, and it was a lot of fun. We get into talking some music, and that helped inspire us along the way. And of course, what he's up to today is working as a personal trainer out at F45 in O'Fallon, Missouri. So you can check him out there. And big thanks to Roughneck Beard Company for all their continued support of this show. You can shop locally here in Maplewood, Missouri, off Manchester, or shop 24/7 anywhere in the world at roughneckbeardcompany.com. You know, this time of year is all about their Roughneck Genesis. Features aloe vera juice infused with biotin, B12, MSM, and glycerin. This product will actually help your hair and skin pull moisture in from the air around it, keeping everything soft and healthy. Just a couple of quick sprays before adding your favorite beard oil or balm, and you're good to go. Be sure to check out Roughneck Genesis, their fortifying and nourishing beard maximizer. You can also, again, you can pick up your beard oils, your beard balms, your junk powder, all sorts of wonderful beard products and other grooming products at Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler. Again, roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. If you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. I would love to hear from you all. Let me know what it is that you've been listening to recently, or if you have any requests, or you just want to say hi. I would like to, you know, connect with you all. So otherwise, you can find me on the socials, and that's about it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this new episode with David McCorkle.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Dave McCorkle. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley, a Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at F45 training in O'Fallon, Missouri, with David McCorkle.
That's right.
Hey,
thanks,
man,
for having me, man.
This man, I've been I'm really glad this happened.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to it all week, and actually it was 2 weeks now, because we had to reschedule, but we're making it happen. And, you know, really, like, this has kind of become a goal of mine just fairly recently. Like, I've really kind of changed what I wanted to do with this show. And, like, I enjoy meeting all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to start just catching up with friends and family and recording with some of these people that are, you know, close to me and stuff. And so I've been trying to make it a point to do that more often. And so this is cool that we're getting to do this, because this is one of the first really that I've been able to actually apply it. And
yeah,
and you're a guy I've known 20-25 years or something like that. Like,
a long time.
Yeah. So we go way back. And so I just thought this would be fun to kind of catch up one, because we, like, obviously we were real close in school and everything. Mm-hmm. And like life does, we all kind of grow apart and get busy working and all these different things, and we didn't see each other for a long time, and we just kind of started hanging out, start talking a lot more recently again and stuff. So I thought this would be cool to sit down and talk and catch up and
absolutely
everything you've been up to. So But anyway, let's kind of start at the beginning, man. So I was trying to think about it, like where we originally first met.
Seventh grade? Yeah, it was seventh grade.
Did you guys move to town that year or something?
We transferred. So it was kind of weird because the school district didn't really quite know where to put our neighborhood as far as if we were supposed to go to Wentzville Holt or if we were supposed to go to South, or if we were supposed to go to Timberland, which Timberland wasn't even there at the time. But they transferred us from in-town middle from sixth grade out, and seventh grade we went out to South Middle, and that's where we met. And then I think it was I'm obviously in school we met, started hanging out, but I think it was basketball was what brought us even closer.
We used to hoop a lot. I was talking to Sean Nichols about it a lot, like just recently. Like I've been went and watched The Last Dance on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then I also watched, which is, and if you haven't watched it yet, it's incredible, man. Like the whole story about the Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and then also there's a Stephon Marbury documentary on there and a Vince Carter documentary, and I'm like, just like, man, I want to go back to those days of hooping and with my buddies and like the teams and stuff. I just like, I really miss just being a part of the team and being a part of that, energy and just. Of course, the working out and everything else. I need to really get back to that. But that was life, man. We ran up and down that court so much.
A lot. We used to go. What was the place in Wentzville? We always went to the
Progress Park. Me and Sean spent a lot of especially during summer, and we'd try to get other people. But we'd go up there and run full court games with those older guys all the time. I hated it because summer break and I'm waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go
play basketball.
But once you get there, you're so glad you did it. But
that would have been the origin of meeting was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And then we had a basketball, eighth grade basketball team, the Sharks.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah.
Shout out to Coach Joel Adam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. To everybody that's listening, like we have endless stories of times that we were just crying, laughing, we've had some very, very funny times together.
I was actually talking about, obviously music is a big part of this show. And, I was talking about a time just actually last night, I was telling a story, but, I think it was, we had some sort of, house party kind of thing at your house in like seventh grade, and like I remember I was like DJing because I had the most CDs or something like that, and I remember everybody wanted to like slow dance because they were boyfriend girlfriend at the time. The only slow song I could find in my whole CD was Seal's Kiss from a Rose.
Oh my god.
And it was I think it was like the Batman soundtrack or whatever,
right?
And so I had a I played it like three or four times that night for the party.
A couple times in a row.
Yeah.
Wait, I almost kissed her.
Yeah, right. It's just funny how like that song and that memory or whatever, everything just takes you right back.
It's funny how those songs will trigger stuff like that.
For sure, man.
Yeah. There's things that I remember, a song will play and it will take me right back to, a party in your basement.
Yeah.
Riding in your car.
Yeah.
It's amazing how, and I know to everybody out there listening, I know that we're not the only ones that this happens to. Music is an absolute trigger and can take you right back to the time when you fondly remember that song or when the first time you heard that song. So.
Yeah. Obviously, a big one is 16, getting your first car and driving, and you get to listen. You're in charge of the radio now and stuff. So you get to. So I remember, Gord's Gin and Juice cover got a lot of play in my car.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So
absolutely, I remember that one. I met that guy out in Colorado.
Oh yeah.
Yes. I yeah. Because he ended up being the lead singer of Shiny Ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was out there, not with any band. He was out there on his own. He was doing a show. I was at Music Fest, which is, for those that don't know, Music Fest is a Red Dirt Festival from Texas. It's organized in Texas, and everybody goes to Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Yeah.
And there's 50 to 60 bands that show up there for a 4 to 5 day event where it's all skiing and concerts. And I met that guy in a room no bigger than the one we're in right now, with about 60, 70 people in there, and he was playing music just for 60 or 70 people.
Yeah, nice, man.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's obviously he's got a ton of other stuff, but that song is so fun and mm-hmm. just
it'll take you right back.
Oh yeah. But yeah, that sounds like a heck of a party, man.
It's amazing. An amazing time. Through the years, that seemed to be what I gravitated to, is Red Dirt music more than anything.
Sure.
So that some of my favorite bands, favorite songwriters are Red Dirt songwriters. Mm-hmm. And
those guys are, doing real well now. There's a lot of that, people kind of gravitating towards that, mm-hmm. that sound now and stuff. So.
Yeah. I think, in my opinion, that they are making music because of the love of music, not because of fame, not because some record company's trying to push them out there. Or some producer trying to make them the next big thing. These guys don't care. They don't care if they make it big. They are writing music because this is their life, and they write about experiences they had, experiences other people had. And I think that you can hear that genuine sound, that genuine lyric, that I think is just amazing. That's what makes the music so well.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's I'm a big fan of some of those guys that come out of that, like Stoney LaRue.
He's
one of my favorites. Yep. There's all sorts of them. But, mm-hmm. that sound.
Cody Canada.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Jason Bolin, Roger Krieger, Turnpike. Turnpike's probably more the well-known one now.
Sure, which I guess they're kind of done.
They're kind of done. But, thanks, Miranda Lambert.
But there's and Randy Rogers' band.
Oh, yeah. I just saw them last year. Yeah, last year at Lake of the Ozarks. They were playing at Shady Gators.
Okay, so, nice. Yep. Yeah. They get a lot of good acts at Shady Gators, man. Like,
yeah.
It's,
the Red Dirt Summer Concert Series is what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, they get out. It's cool to see that, you can.
Somebody in Missouri's latching onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know that they did much this year.
It's been a weird year.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about, too, there's some other stories I wanted to get to about us growing up. And I remember I meant to text you, I think, the other day about it as I was laughing. Cause,
I know where you're going.
Also, a big part of our youth was wrestling.
Yes.
as much as basketball was there, too. And I was laughing because I thought of the story and about the time I powerbombed your little brother Danny on his bed and it just like hit the floor and
the whole bed broke
in half. And, I remember Dad wasn't too happy with us.
No. And you know what? I took that bed apart. We still have that bed.
Right.
And I took that. I had it in our last house that me and my wife had. I took it apart and I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, there's a lot of repairs done to this thing. And I couldn't remember what it was until you said, do you remember that time? And then I'm like, I remember.
Right.
Yeah, that was my mom's great aunt's bed. Like it was antique.
Oh, jeez. Well,
now way to go, Shane.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, that was funny. That was really good. Yeah, that's a good one.
We used to do that.
Another one that I remember, and me and Matt Lehart were talking about this the other day. Do you remember on New Year's Eve, 1999, 2000, it was the 2000 New Year, mm-hmm. we were in his basement, and you grabbed a barbell with weights on it, and you pushed it up overhead and hit the light bulb, and exploded the light bulb all over the place. For those of you who don't know, Shane was as big as he is right now back in seventh grade.
Right.
Like he was 6'3" in seventh grade. So for him to pick up a barbell with weight on it and try to throw it up in the air in the basement, he's going to hit the ceiling. And that light bulb just exploded everywhere. And all we could do was fall on the floor laughing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, as much as all this, like I said, we have basketball, we have wrestling, there's a lot of fitness around, which is, kind of tying into what you are doing now. I mean, you've always been active in this mm-hmm. stuff. And, but I was thinking about, we used to play a ton of football too. And there was another story that came to mind that I remember freshman year, we got to high school and, we were playing flag, quotations.
It was one of the last days of school.
And, I remember you, I remember you tried to like tackle
Lewis Ham.
Lewis Ham, yep. Who was also about 6'3", 250.
You're a big boy.
And and you like bounced right off of him and rolled over on your wrist and dislocated it.
Broke it. Broke both bones, dislocated the hand, and cracked my growth plates.
But I remember, like, I just have a very vivid memory of you, like, looking up at it and, like, blacking out. Yes. And, like, you, like, screamed and blacked out. And then I, like, as your wrist is, like, hanging underneath your arm. And whoever, if it was Lewis or somebody else, but we had, like, picked you up and carried you into the nurse's station.
Yeah, you carried me all the way. Yes, so, I remember that. Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, of course, it was just a kind of a freak accident thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we were just playing around having fun, which is, and like, you know, but yeah. Obviously it didn't slow you down much.
No. And actually, you know, for the rest of the summer I had the cast on and we still did everything.
Right. But, you know, just like I said, all this stuff has been there. And so it kind of ties into what you are doing now with training. And we are here at F45. Mm-hmm. Located in O'Fallon, Missouri, off of Highway K, right? Yep. Directly behind Fritz's Frozen Custard, which... Right.
Which is kind of counterintuitive to where we are. Like.
Well, my buddy Brian owns the Fritz family, so
I used to play baseball for Debbie Fritz.
Yeah, so it was just kind of funny that I had Brian on the show a while back talking about Fritz's, and now we're on the other side
now
of the
park. Right behind it.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
So how long have you been... with F45 now?
So I've been with F45 for about a year. I started over at Ellisville. I was a coach over there where I would, you know, a few times a week I'd go over there and coach some classes. And that was with an end goal of me, you know, coming over here to O'Fallon whenever it opened up. And we opened the first week of February this year. Right before everything went haywire.
Right, yeah.
So I took a head trainer's position, a head coach position here at the O'Fallon location. And, you know, even with, you know, all the craziness that happened and everything, we're still thriving. We're still doing well. We're still hitting goals. We're being safe about everything as well. I spend a lot of time cleaning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's days I feel like I'm more of a custodian than I am a coach, you know, and I'm wiping everything down all the time. You know, somebody touches it, I'm spraying it.
Yeah.
So... we're here. You know, that's for those that don't know much about what F45 is about. You cool if I just go into a little?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So F45. The F stands for functional training. What I mean by that is what F45 means by that is we're featuring functional and functional type movements. So these are movements that are going to mimic everyday life movements. Okay, such as sitting down, standing up, picking things up, putting things down. You know, pulling things, pushing things. These are all things that you do in your everyday life to begin with. What we're doing is we are using exercises, using weights, using resistance to actually strengthen those muscles up. You know, you work hard in here so that everything out there becomes easier. All right. So the 45 in F45 is 45-minute workouts. Okay. So you come in here, we start our workout. 45 minutes later, you're going to be walking out the door. All right. So it's less than 4% of your day. You know, and that's what we want to do. We want to be efficient with all this stuff. We want to be safe. You know, we want to be effective. That's the two biggest things here, being safe and being effective with this. All this stuff, so the 45-minute workout, you know, featuring functional movements, it's all being set to a hit timer doing circuit training, okay? So we'll always have a set work time and a set rest time. And then we'll have little water breaks in between, you know, some of the pods that will move around in the room. So like today's workout's called Athletica. We are doing 45 seconds of work and then 15 seconds of rest. All right. And we'll do that for a set number of laps and a set amount of time, which is 45 minutes. It's featured circuit training is the basic breakdown of it, all set to hit timers.
Yeah.
But the biggest takeaway with this is if you're gonna go spend time in a gym, make sure you're being effective with your workouts. Don't go and spend a whole bunch of time and not get to your goals. Okay, know what your goals are. Figure out what it is. Why is it that you're there? You know, we think about all the stuff that you do in your life nowadays where this is a lot of stuff takes priority. So if you're going to be spending an hour, 2 hours going to a gym and working out, are you doing that for a purpose? Are you getting to the goals that you want to? Here, we're getting people to their goals, and we have a lot of testimonials, and we have a lot of people that'll tell you this is very, very efficient and effective. Okay.
Right.
So that's, I'm telling you, it's one of those, it's a great concept on fitness. And you know, some people, you know, they may have like a hesitancy of doing some of these movements, of doing even coming through the door. To those people, I would like to say, these movements are all movements that can be regressed down. I can always change it to something different, and I can always progress it up. I like to use the metaphor of, like, I could take a Division I college athlete, and then I can take a 75-year-old grandmother, and I can put them in the same workout, the same station. The only thing that's different, the only varying, is their intensity level. That's all it is. All right, that Division I athlete, I'm going to be able to progress that movement all the way up, probably take the weight all the way up, whereas a normal person, it would probably be average weight, average movement. And then to somebody who is not as skilled, I will regress that movement down and lower the weight down so that they're still able to get the same workout. Just the intensity level's different. That's it. That's the beauty of this system, is that it is all inclusive to everyone. That's probably the biggest part of it. It's all inclusive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm here today with you, and it's a beautiful facility you guys have. Everything is really, you know, nice and clean and everything. Obviously, still very brand new.
Yeah, we're still new. Yeah.
So, but you can find everything at f45training.com, and there's actual official O'Fallon Darden Prairie page on there.
So it's like a / O'Fallon Darden Prairie, and we also have a Facebook page. We have a lot of ads. One of our ads just rolled out yesterday that has a lot of people laughing pretty hard. So,
but you said on the website they can get like a week free.
Yeah. So we offer a 1 week free trial. So that's 7 days. I want you to come in here and experience what we have to offer for 7 days. That's completely on the house. There seriously is no ties to it. There's no gimmicks, anything like that. I'm not asking for a card. I'm not asking for anything. I want you to experience this. I believe in this product, this service, so much that it will sell itself. If this is something that, you know, some people don't like HIIT training, that I can't help that. That's what we do.
Right.
But if this is something that you can do and you can see yourself doing, the product will sell itself. The service will sell itself. And you'll be a believer after seeing and trying and doing. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So that's why we offer that 7 days.
Right. Is there like different like themes or you know, courses throughout the week, or like, you know, like do you change it up by days and stuff? Or?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are what we would call a conditioning or a cardio day. So these are going to be movements that are going to feature body weight movements, plyometric movements. We've got a rower machine. We've got bikes. You know, today we're pushing some sleds. You know, we got some dead balls, some med balls, ropes, things like that. These are things that are going to elicit a higher heart rate. And plus our timing, that 45-15, that is going to elicit your heart rate to go up a little bit higher and probably stay up there a little bit longer. During the Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday sessions, these are what we call resistance days, all right, or weight days. The resistance days are not going to be as high a heart rate, but you will get a cardio element to it. And I say cardio, unquote, because it's the timing of the workout that is going to get your heart rate to come up a little bit, because I'm giving you a set amount of time to do work and a set amount of time to have rest. There's certain movements that you, if you were to pick up a barbell and do a certain movement for, let's say, 35 seconds, and I'm only going to give you, let's say, 20 seconds of rest, your heart rate's going to rise a little bit. You're working big muscle groups,
right?
All right. So you work those big muscle groups, your heart's going to have to speed up. So there's still a slight cardio element, even on the resistance days. But on the resistance days, just with anything else, when you're picking up weight, you move slow. Okay. You concentrate on form. You know, it's not, no, we shouldn't be picking up weights and going anything for speed. All right. Never sacrifice your form just to get more reps. All right. Don't sacrifice form for anything. Always keep form. Okay. That's how we break it down that way. Now, if you'll notice, I left out Saturdays. Okay. Saturdays are what we call a hybrid day. Okay. Hybrids are a mix of cardio and weights all in one workout. That doesn't mean that you go to a weight station during that day and start doing the weights really fast, though. All right. When you get to the weights, you slow yourself down. When you get to the cardio movements, you speed yourself up. On our Saturday sessions, they're called Hollywood. That's what we call them, Hollywood sessions.
Yeah.
Those days are always an hour long. So that's our only hour long workout. Everything else is 45 minute workouts, but Saturdays are a lot of fun. We feed off the energy. We hire a DJ to come in here. Hey. He sets the mood. I'm telling you, and anytime during the workout, if you want to hear a song, you just yell it out to him. He'll mix it right into it. It is really about the energy. You're feeding off the energy on Saturdays in here. It's a lot of fun. And I try to explain it to people, you know, when I'm trying to tell them, like, hey, during your free 7 days, I want you to try and hit a Saturday. And I try to explain it, and they're like, I don't know if that's for me. Just try it, you know. And when they do try it, they're hooked. It's fun. Yeah. It is a lot of fun. So, you know, the workout is tough. Saturdays are tough. It's an hour long on a HIIT timer. But because of the energy level in the room, that's what's pushing people.
Right.
That's really good.
Yeah, man. I think the music's, for me, I mean, obviously I'm a fan, but the music's always kind of like really one of those things for me that can push me to that next level, or, you know, whatever it is. So,
absolutely.
You know, the right song at the right time and, you know, can.
Yeah, can motivate you.
Yeah, get you wanting dancing more, or yeah. You know, running faster, pumping more
absolutely.
Muscle.
Or, absolutely.
You know, more weight and everything. And
on the flip side of that, the wrong song yeah, could sure. just oh, totally yeah. kill the drill.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, you're right. The music is, you could see it in any gym you go to. I don't care where you go, Gold's Club, you know, wherever. How many people are listening to music?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone.
Right.
You know, even if you don't have your headphones in, you're probably still listening to what they have on the speakers.
Right.
You know, music is a driver of fitness, a huge driver of fitness. You could go on to iTunes and just type in workout music, and there's going to be 100,000 things that pop up.
Yeah.
So, big driver.
What gets you, what's most recently been in your headphones when you're working out?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, recently, because I've been doing a lot of my workouts in here, so we have a Spotify that we pay for, and, I've been hitting shuffle on our Spotify. Quentin knows a lot about music as well. And he loaded, I think he's got like 14 hours worth of music on there. So he listens to a lot of things that I have no idea. Like, yeah. I've never even heard the songs that come on. So I actually enjoy it. Like, it comes on and I'm like, cool, I like this, you know? And every once in a while I'll be like, hey man, who is this? You know? So that's recently what I've been doing. You know, before that, I do like Migos a lot. Yeah. So I'll have them in there. Let's see what some of the recent stuff that I've done. Let's see. Now, Neefex in there. You know, something with a good beat.
Sure.
DMX. Got to have some DMX in there. Yeah. I think this is a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking I got some, you know, obviously buddies from that we went to school with that have kind of been doing real well for themselves. They used to go by Hollow Point Heroes. Now Outrun the Fall. But Todd Pittman
yeah.
still playing
yeah.
bass with them and stuff. And they get lumped in a lot with these some of these playlists online and stuff. And being like a hard rock, you know, kind of, you know, moving into almost metal and stuff at times. Some of the stuff they play, and a lot of people love working out to that too.
Yeah.
And so they get a lot of activity online because of, I think because of those
you of know, workout, guys,
workout yeah. playlists yeah. and stuff. And so, you know, obviously you can listen to it anytime, but I think like it's a good one to get you amped
sure.
up to, you know, want to work out more.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if you when we were trying to set up this interview, I wrote down, you know, this, I guess we'll take it back to the past a little bit. Thinking about like the five most influential albums that, you know, when we were growing up, like from the time, sure, you know, eighth grade, you know, through high school, like what is it that you remember fondly, always having on repeat in your CD player, you know, or always ready to go when you get to a party, mm-hmm, things like that. I don't know if you made a list or not, but I actually wrote down a list of, yeah, the ones that I remember very, very fondly. And to no surprise to us growing up in this era, my number one was Country Grammar.
Definitely, man. Like, yeah. I mean, well, one, that record is iconic. It's just, you know, nobody had really done anything quite like that when it came out, mm-hmm, you know, kind of singing, rapping and everything.
Yep.
And
also, he's from St. Louis.
Also. So that was I think that was like the biggest initial thing, was because we were even though we had nothing, you know, no idea about St. Louis, really, like growing up in the county. Yeah. But we were still like so proud that this guy was representing St. Louis, mm-hmm, and he's putting.
And Midwest, yeah, and Missouri. Like,
yeah. So he was, you know, essentially one of us.
And, yeah. Put us on the map.
Yeah.
You
know, and so we were really like, I mean, I remember, but I, it's funny you bring that up, because that's exactly like you, I think you were the one that like introduced me. I think you, through Mike or
Mike
something.
Mike Gerber, yeah. Yep. Because it was his brother.
Right.
Yeah. His brother was doing work with the St. Lunatics. He was doing work with Basement Beats.
Right.
So Jason Epperson was Basement Beats, produced Country Grammar.
Right. And I remember you had the Country Grammar single, and I think Greed, Hate, Envy on it or something. But I remember hearing like those songs, and like we had that, just that single CD for before the record came
out,
like, you know, a couple months before, and mm-hmm, like, and listening to that, and we're like,
yep,
and hooked on it. And then of course Country Grammar hits and blows, mm-hmm, up, and
just blew up. I mean, that was unbelievable. I remember. You brought up Sean Nichols earlier. So Sean used to make burn CDs for everybody.
Oh,
remember
sure,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing you can't get in trouble for it now.
Yeah. But
statute of limitations is up, Sean. You're good. one of the first burn CDs that I ever owned, Sean put that on there for me.
Yeah. You know,
that was so I finally remember that. It was number two on that CD. I remember that.
Yeah. I was actually talking about that the other day too. Came up and about you know, I had that whole binder full of burn CDs and mix CDs, and I remember somebody stole it like at a freshman football game or something at Holt or something like that, or sophomore or whatever it was, and I remember like something. I was like walking on the street by Pittman Funeral Home on the other side of town.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't know why I was over there, but
just wandering through Wentzville.
But I remember I was walking down the street and I saw something caught my eye and shiny, and I was listening to CD, and I picked it up, and because it was face down, I picked it up and flipped it over to see what it was, and it said Shane's Mix on it. And I was like, damn,
so somebody was throwing them out the window.
I was like, at least if somebody stole my CD, they could appreciate
at least
them,
use
but,
them.
But they're probably like, nope, this sucks.
Yeah. Oh man.
So. Anyway, but yeah, it was just funny to me, but like that was definitely a big part of our youth. Is also making all those mix CDs and stuff.
Yeah.
And, So.
Yep. Because we'd make the mix CDs and then we'd go to a party and that would be like our playlist for the party.
Yeah, I mean, that was the original Spotify playlist.
That's right. You know,
so
that is right.
But yeah, man, Country Grammar, I think celebrated
20
years now.
Yeah.
So, which is crazy to think about.
Yep.
And Nelly's still doing it. He just performed at Hollywood Casino, mm-hmm, like a couple weeks ago. So,
yep.
But yeah, it's a huge record and definitely a big, you know, I got a ton of repeat on in our childhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's number two on
number
here?
Two, Dre.
Ayo.
2001. I fondly remember that, especially at your parties in your basement.
Hold up.
Yeah, exactly. I think if I remember right, that might have been the first time I heard it was over there, because I think you had just gotten it.
Okay.
It would have been our freshman year, I think. It had to have been. It had to have been freshman year, and we went over to your place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one, especially because Eminem was featured on that CD too.
Sure.
So and forgot about Dre.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and at that time, Eminem was blowing up big too. I think he had his Slim Shady album that came out, you know, what, eighth grade?
Yeah, 99.
Yeah, somewhere in 98, 99.
Something like, anyway, whatever. Yeah. Something like that.
And then his next one was the LP, wasn't it? The Marshall Mathers LP. And that one was, I don't know, 2001, something like that,
right.
2000, 2001. So, yeah, you know, Eminem was, like, brand new on the scene. So for him to get featured in Dre's album, we're like, oh, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Nick Crawford said something the other day about that, about on Netflix, you know, and it says always next episode. You're like, if you don't start singing Dre's next episode when you see that, then like, I don't think we can be friends.
If you don't go, hold up. All right, number three, Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory.
Yeah, man.
Man, what an awesome album when that came out. First person I knew that had that was Kyle Stevens.
There you go. Shout out, Big Kyle.
Yep.
Getting
married.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a good day.
I think Brandy's on her bachelorette party this week. I think I just saw a post from her. She was leaving this weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Stacey's also at a different bachelorette party. We just thought it was funny that they. Yeah. It seems like that's the thing to do this weekend.
Right. So, right. Yeah.
But yeah, man. Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory, again, it was kind of one of the first big records that sound to have that kind of new metal rap rock sound. I mean, there was other people doing it, but not quite like that. And
they took it mainstream.
Right.
Yeah. They definitely took it out there. The Executioners were dabbling in all that stuff. And, Mike Shinoda was singing with them.
Sure.
It was Linkin Park that absolutely just took it over.
And Chester's vocals are, the guy's one of the best.
Yes.
That record was huge, man. Was
Big. And they, I mean, I remember every album coming out after that. I'm like, I have to get this. I have to get this. This is, I mean, the Reanimation, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
So next one, I'm going to go back to St. Louis.
Here you go.
Free City.
Yeah.
Free City.
St. Lunatics.
I'm going to throw out another childhood friend, Brandon Parham. We had that CD. I had a copy. He had a copy, and he had that. What was that? Trans Am or Firebird? That he had. I can't remember. Firebird.
I think so.
Yeah, he had that Firebird, and we used to just Frankenstein a sound system into this thing. Every time I'd get a new piece of sound system, we would try to hook it up in his car, but we always put that CD on to test our sound system.
There you go. It's a Midwest one.
Yeah, that's right,
y'all.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I pull up those records every now and then just to kind of have that trip down memory lane.
Oh, yeah.
And those would definitely one to take you right back.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
I remember we listened to, speaking of Brandon, I'm trying to find it because I sent a picture to him the other day.
Do you remember his obsession with... Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Sure, yeah. A lot of Bone Thugs, a lot of DMX also.
Yeah.
And another guy, I remember listening to a lot of Ja Rule.
I saw this picture.
This meme popped up on Ja Rule and his kid at graduation and says, how does Ja Rule's son look more Ja Rule than Ja Rule?
Right.
And it's true.
It is very true.
I sent that to Brandon the other day because that's what I mean, when I hear of Ja Rule, that's what I think of listening to Vinny Vici.
Yeah, Vinny Vici. Yeah, that's right. So. Yeah. Yep, that was a good one.
Yeah.
There was another one that you speaking of other albums, and one that I was debating putting on this list was Ludacris.
Yeah.
It was the Word of Mouth.
Okay.
That was one of my favorites.
Sure.
Loved it. Yeah, that was a good one.
We were just singing as I left the house today, me and Stacy, we were like, roll out.
That's right.
Mutual friend, Chuck Sweeney, was over at the house the other day. He's been helping me do new flooring in my house.
Yeah, I saw your post, yeah.
And so we've been having a lot of these kind of talks and just laughing and sharing, you know, songs and everything else. And one of them came up was, I remember telling a story about because I think Luda came on a playlist or whatever it was, and I remember I told him it was some kind of party weekend, whatever. We ended up hanging out at, and all, a bunch of us stayed the night at Dusty McGuire's house. And of course, you know, Luda was on heavy rotation on any of our playlists and our mix CDs or whatever. And I remember, like, I was up in the, you know, I couldn't sleep or whatever, and all the rest of the guys are sleeping. And I don't know if maybe Dusty was just messing with us or whatever, but I remember hearing clearly him, all this drinking gonna catch up, all this smoking, like singing ludicrous in his sleep.
In his sleep.
Yeah, and I was like, and I remember like just cracking up, but like I couldn't like enjoy it with any, I mean, maybe I imagined it, who knows, but yeah. Everybody else was asleep, so I couldn't you know, hey, look, get a load of this. Yeah. Like so, but I remember that for
sure. We didn't have phones back then to record everything. Yeah, right. You know?
Yeah, man.
Number five on my list was Audio Slave. I thought that was one of the best collabs that ever hit. Unbelievable. Chris Cornell with Rage Against the Machine, the band. Tom Morello on the lead guitar. Unbelievable. I mean, Tom is like just a crazy good guitarist. Oh, yeah. And I think he doesn't get as much or as enough recognition as he does or as he should.
Sure.
That sound of Rage Against the Machine, that guitaring sound that with the band put with Chris Cornell's lyrics and voice, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Sad loss.
Him and Chester both gone way too soon, but both those guys just iconic voices of our generation and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a better rock vocalist than those two guys.
Oh, unbelievable. So, yep. They were amazing. So that was my top five that I remember from that time period that I just remember having on repeat.
Yeah.
You know, always having those CDs available. You know, now we don't even have CDs anymore. Yeah. I can pull it right up on my phone and play it.
Sure. That definitely a lot of good ones, man. Those are all on a lot of repeat on mine too. So mine would look probably very close to that too.
Yeah.
I didn't actually prepare a top five, but I think that would actually be pretty close to, you know, we both of us kind of get into a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. As far as music wise. So, yep.
And there was some, you know, I had to really think about it because I came up with my top three pretty quick.
Yeah.
But the other ones, I'm like, man, do I want this to be on there? Do I want this one to be on there? You know, because music was our life growing up. We just listened to music. That's what we did. It was a social binder.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was. You know, we didn't, that I remember, we were not, you know, going out drinking and doing all that stuff. Like, I don't remember doing that stuff in high school very often at all. It wasn't until join the army and you really get into alcohol. Yeah.
What do you remember your first concert?
My first concert. Yes. And it was when we still lived in Texas, and it was a Pink Floyd laser show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. That'd be pretty wild.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. That would have been back in 90. Yeah. A long time ago.
I probably went to other stuff before that, like, you know, my parents took me to, but the one I talk about that I remember asking mom to take me to that was Matchbox 20.
Oh, in
97.
Yeah.
When they hit big, and Semisonic and Soul Asylum on the opened up.
Very good, man. So, wow.
It was a good show, man. I remember Chuck went with me to that show it was fun, man.
Yeah.
It was obviously Matchbox 20 was huge in the late 90s like that. Yeah. So, and still doing stuff. So
the one that I remember like going to, so that the one that I went to in 90, that was like an outdoor thing at a, you know, it was really big event down in Texas. The one that I remember fondly up here, we'll throw another name out, Curtis Winterbottom. Me and him liked DC Talk. Do you remember that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't really ever get into that craze or whatever. But I'm definitely well aware of DC Talk.
Yeah. So Curtis and I both. This was in, I think we were in fifth grade then, And we both had like every album that they had. I do remember that both of us had Jesus all Freak. Jesus Freak. Yeah, we had those CDs. And my mom ended up getting tickets for our family to go see them. So I do remember.
Yeah,
that right there was probably my first arena concert that I've ever gone to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Actually, I think I was just talking. I pulled it out up the Jesus Freak up the other day because my buddy Gabe was talking about it because he was grew up in with his father and it was in the. In the church and stuff, mm-hmm. So he grew up. That's all he could listen to was Christian music and stuff. And but I remember he just talked about how iconic that record was for him. Hearing something different.
They kind of sent it mainstream. Right. I mean, it was a little bit more than just being a Christian album,
right?
You know, they really crossed the line of sending it mainstream.
Yeah,
you know, and I was still pretty young as they did that. Yeah, I think they were from Pennsylvania. Is that right?
I think they were from
like Philly or something, if I remember right.
The other one was Creed. He listened to Creed. That was a big part of his mm-hmm. growing up. But
you know, I didn't a lot of the bands in the '90s. I didn't appreciate back then at all as much as I do now. You know, bands like Stone Temple Pilots. What an amazing band! You know, yeah. Tool. You know, these are bands that I just didn't have a grasp on them at all because I was just either one, I was a little young, or two, I just wasn't into that kind of music. Right. And, now looking back, I mean, you're talking some great, great songs,
Oh, yeah. You
know, Pearl Jam, amazing music. Sure.
There's a lot of that, like where you kind of missed the boat on when it was mm-hmm. popular at the yeah. time. And then yeah. like, I've definitely done that too. Like yeah. where you kind of, you miss the craze and you go back and you're like, well, what was all this about? And mm-hmm. they're like, oh, yeah. All right, I get it.
You realize that it was amazing
yeah,
music.
Right.
You know, I do remember being a Third Eye Blind fan. Mm-hmm. I do. And I still think they have great music.
I saw them not too terribly long ago. Mm-hmm. It was actually one of the grand opening type of thing for Ballpark Village. They played inside there and that was
wow.
That was cool.
Yeah. Like
to see them there and a couple of years back and
so, nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, man, you mentioned Army mm-hmm. and you know, some of this stuff. Like, but I was wondering how, like, you know, how do you get to where you are today as the trainer and stuff?
That's a great
question. I mean, obviously you've done a lot of different things over the years and stuff. But what how do you feel like all that was part, you know, that's all part of your story to get here, but what do you feel like made you find this passion as into moving into training and stuff?
Yeah. You know, there was definitely some key points in my life that has prepared me and brought me to where I'm at now. You probably remember this, and probably some of the people that are going to be listening to this remember this. I was not a stellar student in high school. I did not have good grades.
Yeah,
I didn't pay attention.
I was talking about that, like how, like I was, I don't know. I got along with everybody. Mm-hmm. I was a good kid. I hardly didn't get in a lot of trouble, but I was not a good student.
Right, I was not either.
I spent way too much time. I was also like 16. My parents split, so I was working like full time too, mm-hmm. just so I could have my car and things, and then so by that point, like, and then like started also wanting to go to every football game and doing all the other extracurriculars mm-hmm. things, so it wasn't like, so definitely schoolwork slid and like but yeah, so I'm with you, man. I barely graduated, but
I didn't graduate on time. I actually had to go to that learning annex and finish one. I needed a half a credit. That's all I needed.
Right.
And so I went and took like economics and I finished. So I finished the following September is when I finished. And then I started working dead end construction jobs. You know, I was working for 84 Lumber for a while. And then there was like, I had moved out of my parents' house and I was living down in Pacific, Missouri, and I was working at the 84 Lumber in Valley Park. There was something I went home to my parents' house for. I think I was going to go drop off my four wheeler or something and store it in the shed. And in the 5 minutes that I was there, the phone rang, the house line rang, and it was for me, and it was the Army recruiter. Like, just in the 5 minutes, I just happened to be there. And I talked to him, and he said, "Hey, man, I just want you to come in and sit down and talk." And I was like, "Well, yep. What could that hurt?" You know, and I went in, sat down, listened to it, fell for all the crap, signed, and I was gone. and that took me out of Wentzville, which, I don't even know what my life would have looked like if I would have stayed around. I just don't know, because it took the Army to kick my ass and kind of say, you know, show me that I can accomplish things. If I put my mind to things, I can do it. That I am able to live and fight through more than I know I'm capable of. You know, it took that to kind of, I would say, toughen me up is right. What it was, and kind of put me on a right path and kind of give me perspective in life. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more humbling than going to third world countries and seeing the type of stuff you see in war zones. Yeah. It will humble you very, very quickly, and it will make you appreciate every single asset and thing that you have in the United States, 100%. So after all of that, I ended up getting out, and I went to University of Missouri, and I got a degree in forestry. And I got a degree in forestry because my ultimate goal, even while I was in the Army, my goal was to become a conservation agent, which is in other states would be called a game warden. Here in Missouri, they're called conservation agents. So they are law enforcement officers that enforce the wildlife code of the state. And I did that for about 5.5 years, almost 6 years, of being a conservation agent. And I was stationed up in Monroe County. That was my area of operation. And it was a good job. It really was. But during all of that time, from college and even into being a game warden, my passion for fitness kept growing and growing and growing. And what really started it was during college, I ended up getting diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And you can see the scar on my throat that I have. Scared the absolute crap out of me. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you can imagine what that feels like. Sure. You know, I was 26 years old and being told, "Hey, you've got thyroid cancer," you know, and they're like, "Oh, don't worry. If you're going to have a cancer, thyroid cancer is the best." Like, great. You know, thanks. So they went ahead and did a rush emergency operation. They took half my thyroid out. Never had any issues since. I don't have to take medication. Everything functions optimally, but it scared me on the path of, like, I need to take care of my body. Right. I need to do what I need to do. And if I'm the one that caused this, I don't want that to be. You know, if it's inevitable, it's great. But if I'm the one doing this to my body, if I'm the one destroying my body, I'm the only person to blame.
Right.
And it was a very scary experience. And so that kind of started me looking at nutrition, looking at health. What is it that I'm doing? Am I making my body better? And so that's what I really started focusing on. That was back in 2012. And then moving into being an agent, I got stationed in a county. The county had 8,700 people in it. I mean, it's a very rural county. I mean, there's more people than that in a square mile from where we're sitting.
Right.
So I kind of made my home gym, you know, and then I was lucky enough that the high school principal allowed me to use the high school gym. Made a lot of friends there, as far as like coaches and teachers and things like that. And, you know, one of my best workout partners I had was the girls basketball coach up there. He was awesome. You know, we loved working out together. That's just, you know, it was like we'd send each other texts, "Hey, when you working out today?" You know, and I just meet him there. All that stuff just kept going further and further and further. And I was starting to get a little bit, and I'm not going to go like super deep into why I left the department, but I was starting to get very discouraged in my job, and I was starting to go into mild forms of depression in my job. Right. And, you know, working in law enforcement, it takes a toll on your brain. I don't care what faction of law enforcement you do. It takes a toll on your brain and your mental health. And it's tough. It really is. You know, a lot of people talk about PTSD for soldiers returning home from war, but you got to understand, law enforcement officers, they see gruesome stuff on a day-to-day, and then they have to go home after a shift and be with their family and try to just turn it off. You don't turn off things that you see like that when you have to pick bodies up off the highway, when you have to drag bodies out of the river,
right?
You know, or you have to go in and arrest somebody because they were, you know, messing with little kids.
Yeah.
You know, those things, they etch into your brain. And I'm telling you, PTSD is a very tough thing. Now, I'm not saying that I had PTSD from this, but law enforcement officers deal with a lot of stuff. Both internally, from the department, and externally, I was just starting to get where my mental health wasn't the best. And I felt like I needed to be doing things to help people more, be in positive situations, do things that everything is on a positive note. What is more positive than being in a gym and helping people get towards goals and making people happy?
Yeah.
Everything I do in here is going towards in a positive direction. That has been the absolute best thing for my mental health, 100%.
Yeah, man.
You know, 100%. Help people get better. Learning what I've learned, using my information that has helped me, I want to help people achieve their goals. You know, there's people that think that some of their goals are just unachievable, that they can't do it. That's absolutely not the case. And though you may not hit exactly what your goal is, you are going to better your life the entire way through. And that's what I want to help people achieve.
Yeah. I follow you on social media, and I know you've had a real nice success story recently, right? A guy lost a whole lot of weight, right?
Luke Giesman.
Yeah.
Luke Giesman, who was also, he went to Wentzville as well. He was a few years older than us, about 5 years older than us. Luke has totally turned his life around, physically, mentally. He's a monster in the gym. Like he is an animal. He is one of those true testaments of, like, give him a goal and you can't stop him. Mm-hmm. Like, he is going after that goal. I'm super proud of him. He did absolutely fantastic. He was one of my first clients that I had when I first switched into personal training. He was one of the first ones I had, and he's still training with me.
Right.
So,
and he would like 100 something, or like, I don't know, something.
It was a lot, and I don't have the exact numbers. I don't want to throw a bad number out there, and right. but his body fat percentage went way down. Mm-hmm. His overall weight, he has gotten to a goal weight that he wants to be at, where he feels comfortable. But the best thing is that lowering the body fat percentage and upping the lean muscle mass percentage. People get very hung up on what the scale actually says.
Sure.
I tell people, don't worry about that, because the bigger goal is lowering the body fat and increasing the lean muscle mass. When you increase that lean muscle mass, you start eliciting more of a fat burn. All right. You're using more muscles, which creates the burn of the fat. So muscle burning fat.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But I just love seeing those success stories like that. And obviously you watch a lot of these shows, watch a lot of American Ninja Warrior or NBC's Titan Games now and stuff. Yeah. And you see these people that make those changes in their life and then where they're at now and mm-hmm. doing these things. And I'm like, and I watch those and I get inspired. I mean, like, I'm gonna feel like I gotta mm-hmm. do that, man. I gotta make some changes. And so I keep saying it, and I haven't done it, but I think I'm gonna come in here, man.
Dan Zer comes in here every afternoon, man. Come with him.
I need to get my ass in gear. And so I went through, you know, sort of what you were talking about, some of that depression and stuff. That's where, with mom getting sick and mm-hmm. passing last year, I'm days where obviously
it weighs on you.
Yeah, but like, I feel like I'm getting in a much better headspace, but mm-hmm. I put on quite a bit of weight through that. Like many people, I tend to, eat my emotions kind of thing. And so, that's what would, so I put on quite a few pounds through that time, and I'm like, man, I gotta do something. I gotta get this in gear, and before it becomes an issue, even more of an issue. And
so, recognizing that
right.
is probably the biggest battle when you can actually say, okay, I think I've reached a point where I need to do something about it.
Sure,
that is, admitting to that is huge. The next step is getting yourself through the door.
Yeah,
you know, that's once you've done that. You're already home stretch.
Yeah.
All right. Now you get through the door, we start working at it. And it takes time. You know, you have to think about it as how many years did it take for you to get to this point?
Right.
It doesn't just go away within a week. You know, it doesn't go away within a month. Sometimes it won't go away within a year. You have to work for it.
Right.
But the more you work for it, the easier life starts to get. Life becomes easier the more hard work you put in here. And I'm not saying this has to be the bulk of your life. You know, I don't want the gym to become your life. I want the gym to help your life. I want it to make your life easier, because hard work in here makes life so much easier out there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, man. I'm going to do that, man. I haven't seen Dan in a while either. That'd be good to see him too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a great facility over there in Cottleville. So
yeah. Nice. But you can come visit David and sign up for some training again here at F45 Training in O'Fallon in Darden Prairie area, right directly behind Fritz's Frozen Custard on Highway K. You can again hit F45Training.com as the homepage and find the location here. But there are a bunch of them, obviously, around town.
Yeah, I think there's six of them around St. Louis right now. There's the next one opening will probably be open by November. They're looking at that one November, December over in Cottleville.
Yeah.
So you can find us on Facebook too. It's the O'Fallon Dardine store is what it is. So F45 Training O'Fallon Dardine Prairie. And then we also on Instagram as well. And we are constantly loading stories on there. So if you're kind of wondering what some of the movements look like, if you go to our Instagram and just click on our story, we're always featuring what people are doing in here on our Instagram story. So go check that out.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess we better wrap it up because we do have a class coming in here shortly.
Yep, about an hour. Yep.
Man, David, this has been awesome. I'm really glad we made this happen.
Yes, me too.
Been a lot of fun catching up and sharing some of these silly stories.
I'm interested to see some of the comments that'll come out of our stories.
Right.
Do you got time for one more story?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Do you remember? Do you remember that same New Year's at Matt's house, whenever it was getting ready to hit New Year's? And you guys dared me to run down the street naked. So me and Matt were talking about that. And his mom was there when we were talking about it. Like he was up here in late June. And so the way it worked out was they dared me. And so I took off all my clothes.
Right.
I had my hat and my shoes on. And I took off running down the street. And as I'm running back, I see Shane grabbing all of my clothes and running away with them. And so I'm standing out in the middle of the street, and Matt's mom comes running out the door, and I dive into the ditch to try and hide. And so I'm laying completely naked in a ditch, you know, waiting for Matt's mom to go inside.
Happy New
Year.
She
had no idea.
Right.
Yeah, so funny story.
Yeah, man, I haven't seen Matt in forever either. Like those, we had a lot of really good times growing up over there and in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
I remember thinking about too. We used to play a lot of football, like I mentioned.
Oh yeah, and there was a lot of people that lived in that neighborhood that we went to school with.
Everybody,
a lot.
Yeah.
Darren MG, you know, Kyle Stevens, Heather Laramie, Melissa Kennar. Katie Walters, Jeremy Luring,
Stallings.
Jay Stallings. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I was thinking. It was like the time we were playing football and Jay tried to tackle me, and like I think I like dislocated his shoulder
probably.
Or something like that.
And then Jay's little brother, Marvellus, broke Matt's arm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We were tough on each other playing football and everything, but anyway, it was just that was what's fun about those neighborhoods like that, like where you just go over there for the weekend and everybody's hanging
always
out.
Always something going on. So,
I remember, you know, that's what I really like watching shows like Stranger Things and stuff now, or, you know, whatever, some of these shows that are kind of like set in that time period, because that's what it was, man. Like,
you rode your bike everywhere.
You rode your bike, and whoever's house had all the bikes in the front, you already knew that's where everybody was. So it's funny watching those, and of course the music's always there too. But those always take me right back to those days, man, growing up with all you guys. And
for sure.
And we still have fun. We don't do as many power bombs on the bed anymore.
Now our wives would probably be a little weirded out if we're power bombing each other on the bed.
I do know, like, I mean, obviously I got a bunch of buddies that, you know, they're kids and stuff, and like, and so maybe one of these days I'll get to that point and try to teach them the wrestling moves David, this has been awesome, buddy. I thank you for taking some time out. Thanks to F45 for letting us hang out here today and record. And get plugged in on the socials, and come sign up for your free week.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks, man. Shane.
Thanks, David.
Yep.
Bye, everyone.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.